You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Today we are continuing with the second installment of our series, The Gospel Explained. We will be on this for 21 more weeks, so this is quite exciting because we're looking at the book of Romans. Several things were established well last Sunday as we look into Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. And you know what? Romans is considered the magnum opus of Paul, perhaps his most important work. Today we will look at Romans chapter 1. Verses 18 to 32. We're reading from the ESV. This is in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32. It says here, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them." Verse 20 says, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them." You know, we begin this with verse 18. It says here, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." What I said a while ago, that we're looking at Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 32. When we covered Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 17 last Sunday, we understand that, you know, it talks about the glory of the gospel. In fact, you know, verse 17 is the verse that basically ignited the Reformation. Now we are in verse 18 to 32, and I'd like for us to understand that verse 18 right here is like the hinge that makes the entirety of this passage, 18 to 32, actually swing and function. So this is how important verse 18 is. And because we are beginning with verse 18, we have no choice but to get to the bottom of this. Here's what verse 18 says. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." We see here in this verse that we are encountering a terrifying phrase. And this is the phrase that says, "the wrath of God." In verse 18, and like what I said, this is an important verse for us to understand the entire passage that we have here today. We look at what the words "wrath of God" means, and for us to understand it, we have to look into the Old Covenant and see how it plays out whenever we start talking about the wrath of God. You know, when Korah rebelled against God, it says here, Numbers chapter 16, verse 46, "And Moses said to Aaron, take your censer and put fire from off the altar and lay incense on it and carry it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. Why? For the wrath has gone out from the Lord, the plague has begun." When the Israelites were led away to Baal worship, we find it here in Numbers chapter 25, verse 3. It says here, "So Israel yoked himself to Baal of Peor, and guess what happens?" It says here, "And the anger of the Lord, the wrath of God, was kindled against Israel." You know, John Stott would say that God's wrath is his holy, hostility to evil, his refusal to condone it or come to terms with it, his judgment upon it. The word wrath here in its original Greek is the word orge, which simply means heated passion. So simply put, we say that every time we start talking about the wrath of God, we're talking about what? God's heated passion against ungodliness and unrighteousness. God's heated passion against godliness and unrighteousness. To simply put it, okay, we understand that as God's creation, when we or anyone operate against God, we incur the wrath of God. When man operate against God, we will incur the wrath of God. Being a medtech graduate, it's like putting a massive potassium in water. Creates a massive exothermic reaction accordingly. So it's like, you know, when you start talking about the wrath of God, it is like the annihilating reaction of God against sin. There is a moral indignation. A moral indignation that stems from God against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. If it were not so, then God will not be a holy God. Leviticus chapter 10 gives us a picture, perhaps a story, the narrative of the death of the son of Aaron, Eadah ben Abihu. The Bible says they offered before God a what? They offered before God the wrong kind of fire, and they died before the very presence of God. Because of that, you know, God confronted Aaron and told Aaron, "Aaron, you will have to learn to distinguish between what? The sacred and the common." That is how holy God is. That is how we understand the holiness of God. Then it says here, "For the wrath of God is revealed." Meaning to say, it is not just a common law of nature that if you make a mistake, you will suffer for it. No, the Bible says it is coming from God. It is stemming from God. It was belonging from God. It is delivered to those who practice ungodliness and unrighteousness. In the latter part of this verse, it says here, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." This is like the wrath of God plummeting down or cascading down. And it will hit so hard. So the question for us is, against what is God's wrath revealed? It says here, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Take note of this when it says all, not some and not most. All kinds of ungodliness and unrighteousness that we could think of will incur the wrath of God. We have to take into account that there is a distinction between, of course, ungodliness and unrighteousness. And the order is actually very important. Ungodliness comes first before unrighteousness. Ungodliness here is directed towards God. It's your vertical relationship with God. Every time we start thinking about ungodliness, it's the lead domino in our life. When that falls, everything else falls. Unrighteousness is directed towards man. It's our horizontal relationship. Well, of course, you know, if your heart is not right with God, every single thing will be affected. In fact, Romans chapter 3, verse 18 would summarize this. It says here, "There is no fear of God in their eyes." God's wrath is directed not against ungodliness and unrighteousness in vacuo. Meaning to say, it's not like God's wrath is being revealed against ungodliness and unrighteousness. Not in that sense, not in isolation, because it says here, look at this one, "ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Meaning to say, the wrath of God has a subject. And I have to say this, the subject is basically those who practice ungodliness and unrighteousness, who through their unrighteousness would suppress the truth. This is basically what this verse is teaching every single one of us. Ungodliness and unrighteousness of those people who suppress the truth by their own unrighteousness. It's not just like they did something wrong, but it's because they have already preconditioned their mind that they're going to against that which is the truth. And that is what we have here. If we start sorting this out, we ask the question, what is this truth that Paul is talking about? It says here in verse 19 and 20, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so men are without excuse." Gives us a picture that, you know, creation constitutes the glory of God. This is what general revelation is. It's like everything has been made plain to every single one of us. And yet, if we still suppress that which we understand is present, is there, it gives us a picture that we will incur basically the wrath of God. In short, God, who is both invisible and unknowable, has made himself known. The next question that we have here is, how is God's wrath revealed? If we start asking what the truth is, so the next question is, how is God's wrath revealed? It says here, for the wrath of God is revealed. What do you notice here? It says is, it doesn't say will be revealed. Meaning to say, this is a present reality. This is in present tense. This is an issue that we cannot skirt around in our life. This is something that we cannot put on a shelf and say, I'm going to think about this several years from now. This is something that confronts us right to this very day. The wrath of God is revealed. Allow me to just explain a few things about that for a while. You know, a while ago, I started talking about the magnitude and the intensity of the wrath of God. But there is such a thing as a future wrath and a current wrath. The future wrath, as we understand, is the day of judgment. But there is such a thing as a current wrath. Current wrath could be what? The public administration of justice. We will go to that in Romans chapter 13. But that is not the current wrath that we're talking about here. Paul outlines that this is a different kind of wrath. What then is this current disclosure of his wrath? It can actually be seen here in verse 24, 26, 28. It says here, there is a phrase here that keeps repeating itself and is a picture of the present and current wrath of God, are the words, God gave them up. The present disclosure of the wrath of God is his abandonment of us. While we fear of God's wrath, something that's like a huge thunderbolt in the future, the current wrath that we're talking about here is a subtle one. The current wrath that we're talking about here is a quiet one. This kind of wrath that we're talking about is God silently giving us over, delivering us to what we love, which is sin. Because we willfully sin, this is what we get. It operates in two ways. It operates by the non-intervention of God. How does that look like? You know, we live in a generation we're in. We love to have our own space. People call it the Me Too generation. We feel like, do whatever you need to do and, you know, don't mind whatever it is that I'm doing right now. But look at this. How in the world is the wrath of God his non-intervention in our life? Do you folks realize this? That if not for the grace of God in our life right now, our sin will be full blown. In hell, the curtains of grace is lifted up. That's why in hell, sin is full blown. We hate boundaries. We hate prohibitions without understanding that prohibition and boundaries are God's grace for us to keep us and protect us. If God will not intervene and we live our life the way we want it, sinners as we are, then we are all doomed to self-destruct for that matter. So the resulting process of moral degeneration here is actually a judicial act of God. We see this in different nations. We see this in different campuses. We see this in different households. Take note, verse 32 gives us a picture that if you are someone who gives approval to whatever it is that people are doing, then you belong in this category. The second way at which this operates, this is quite difficult to comprehend, is not just God's non-intervention, but it is actually a picture of God not telling us, you want to live your life that way? Okay. It's not like God letting us live the way we want to live our life. But the abandonment that we have here is that we have a picture that God plays an active role here. It's one thing to put a paper boat on the water, on the stream. It's another thing to put a paper boat and push the paper boat away. The wrath of God that I'm talking about is the latter one. The second one. It's like God saying, you want to go away from me? Then I'm going to shove you away from me. There comes a time in our life when a person would keep running against stop signs, boundaries placed in our life. We would be, quote-unquote, the spiritual red light in our lives. That could be a person, a church, a city, would pass resolutions approving this, approving that. Could be a university, even if their foundations were founded on the scriptures. Every time we deviate from these things, then we are given over to that which we want. This kind of wrath is a picture of like a dump truck filled with rocks going downhill. There's no stopping it. Because we understand that suffering follows sin. Say for instance, if we break the laws of agriculture, the harvest will fail. If we break the rules and laws of physics, of engineering and architecture, the building will collapse. So every time an entity would reject the knowledge of God, that person, that institution will be given over, will be shoved into all sorts of evil. This current wrath gives us a picture that, whoa, are we saying that we are being shoved? People are being shoved towards believing lies, towards error, toward all forms of evil that we can think of. That is what we have here. Here's what's fascinating, because this same verb, these same words, God gave them up, appears also in Romans chapter 4, verse 25. And this verse pertains to Jesus. It says here, look at this one. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Who was delivered up, Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Jesus was delivered over to what? To stand in judgment and condemnation. By what? By Pilate? By the Roman emperor? No. By God himself. Romans chapter 8, verse 32, it says here, he who did not spare his own son, exact words, it says here, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God sent his son to receive the full force and fury of his wrath. These are the same words that we find in verse 24, verse 26, and verse 28. God gave them up. Current wrath pa lang yan. Meron pang future wrath. It gets more intense. So we ask the question, why? Why were they given over? Why were they abandoned? Why were they delivered over to that? In these several verses that we've looked into, it says here, look, in verse 18, why? Because they suppressed the truth. Verse 21, because they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Verse 22, because they claimed to be wise. Sin makes us fool. Verse 23, because they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. Verse 25, it says here, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. Not just that, they worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. Because of these things, men are given over. A picture of God's wrath. Abandoned, delivered to such things that they practice. This is how condemnation looks like. And there is a verse that puts an exclamation to this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. It says here, therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false. The little knowledge that you have about God, God takes it away from us. The picture that we have here is that it is God who gives us a mind that is deluded. A mind that is filled with delusion. If we have this kind of mind, we will believe such lies. Well, this is not to say that God is the author of evil, but this is a picture of his wrath. You willfully sin, you get what you want. So we ask why? Why would God do such thing? Look at this one. That's verse 11. Verse 12 says, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You folks realize that there is no such thing as a middle ground. You reject the truth, this is what happens to you. You get further below and farther away. Every time we keep rejecting the truth, and a picture of this is found in the next following verses. Verse 26 down to verse 32 is actually called the laundry list of sins. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations to those that are contrary to nature. And the man likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. Verse 28, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God. Insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Look at verse 32. It says here, though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them but give approval to those who practice them. See? Even if you don't find yourself in that list, your participation is your approval. Kung yung conviction natin malabnao, if you refuse to speak up, then that is your participation. So what do we understand with these verses that we've covered so far? So here's the conclusion. The conclusion is you are under condemnation. The conclusion is you are foul, you are wicked, you are depraved. The conclusion is you are under condemnation, you are under judgment. That is the conclusion. But look at this. We move forward in chapter 2, verse 1. It says here, therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, practice the very same things. It means that I am, Archie, I am under condemnation. I am foul, I am wicked, I am depraved, I am under judgment. So at the end of the day, we're all in this together. Every single one of us are placed in this one category. We are all under the wrath of God. That is why the gospel is glorious. I think about that, parang wala akong kawala. So in order for me to be positionally righteous, what do we do now? Of course, we understand that our only hope is the righteousness, our issues and righteousness. So our only hope is the righteousness offered to us in Christ. That is why the gospel is glorious. Oh, no wonder. In Romans chapter 1, no wonder Paul was saying, I am under obligation to preach the gospel. No wonder he was saying, I am eager, forward-leaning, heavy-breathing to preach the gospel. No wonder he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. You know why? Because in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. Only in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. Problem is, our unrighteousness. What do we get with our unrighteousness? The wrath of God. What is our hope in this life? It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next time we look at the cross of Christ, always think it is not just a picture of the love of God, but first and foremost, it is a picture of the justice of God. Justice was served on the cross so that love can be commended.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.